Moncrief on News Talk.
It's a natural function of aging for men that, over time, levels of testosterone will fall. But what's new is the degree to which it's happening in the UK. One estimate has it that 35% of men over the age of 45 have a deficiency. So if you're middle-aged and feeling a bit meh, you've put on a bit of weight and you've no interest in sex, the reason could be hormonal. Dr. Jeff Foster is a GP and the author of Optimal, Understanding Testosterone for Strength, Health and Wellness. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
What does testosterone do?
Testosterone is the key male sex hormone. It's the thing that makes you a guy. So we all know that pre-puberty, boys and girls, except for the anatomical bits, are pretty similar. And then once testosterone becomes active in boys, sort of age 12 to 15, the thing that makes you a guy becomes obvious. You grow your beard, you get taller, your muscle mass gets bigger, your libido comes into play. It does sadly also make you balder. And then we often think that's the end of it, but actually you need testosterone for your entire life to stay healthy.
But is it, as I said, kind of, is there a bit of a tapering off as you hit middle age and further on?
Yeah, so we've known for decades that naturally testosterone peaks in your late teens, early 20s, and then after the age of 30, it naturally drops by about 1 to 2% a year. Now, if you're really fit and healthy and you're one of the lucky 70 or so percent men who never notice the drop and you're just born with high levels, then great. It's never a problem. You stay healthy throughout your whole life. But we now know that there's a significant number who drop this percentage either faster or they get other medical problems, even mild things like high blood pressure or asthma or diabetes, or maybe they've just taken some antifungal medicine for their toenails. And all of these things affect your testosterone and eventually it drops below a critical point and suddenly, bang, I've got low testosterone.
Yeah. And is this a relatively recent development or is it just
Absolutely
we've only
not.
Been keeping an eye on this relatively recently?
I mean, it's not a new thing, and it's been around since men have had testosterone. It's just that we've only really come to play as an important aspect of men's health, really since the undertaking of, I don't know, HRT and menopause has become much more in the forefront since the early 2000s. And that's been a game changer for women, because obviously prior to this, many women were told, well, menopause is just normal. It's part of nature. You go through it and you just suffer and it's fine. And now we have HRT for women in a way that's improved the lives of millions of women. But then it also made a lot of doctors and medics ask the question, well, hang on a minute. If this is happening to all these women, we never really thought about it. Should we be thinking about the same thing for men? Mm. And so we are reaching that point where we're going, actually, yeah, you're right. You're in your 40s and 50s, and this drop in testosterone is going to lead to an increase of diabetes, is going to increase the risk of heart disease, osteoporosis. And if you have low testosterone and you don't do anything about it, your risk of all-cause mortality goes up. So just your risk of dying increases.
Yeah. Now, but I suppose what I meant is the dramatic drop there, because there's been other studies or kind of a meta-analysis claiming it's more like 50% it's dropped by. What kind of factors are at play there?
That's a really good point. And there was the recent study that came out that said actually in the last 50 years, the percentage has dropped by a near 50%. It's been an enormous and quicker drop than is just the normal process of aging or the comorbidities that we see. This is, we think, is due to the lifestyle of the modern man. And as many, many guys are having much more sedentary lifestyles, our diets are worse, we don't sleep as well as we used to, our stress levels are higher. There is an argument to say that things like microplastics and endocrine disruptors probably play a role in reducing our testosterone, but it's very hard to prove that they are a single cause. And actually, the most likely cause is it's all little bits all put together.
Right. Okay. It's generally what we'd call lifestyle factors then.
Yeah, but not for every guy. And I think the really important thing I want to stress is that you should try and do the important things in your lifestyle just to be healthy anyway. Mm. You know, if you're in your 40s or 50s, then you shouldn't be having fast food every day and not doing any exercise and staying up till 2 in the morning on your online game system or whatever. I don't know. But you should try and be healthy for the sake of it. But we know that those poor lifestyles do lead to an increase in testosterone. But if you truly have a low level, then lifestyle itself won't fix it.
Ah, right. And then, so presumably, if a man comes to you, Jeff, and you know, has these various symptoms, and if it's not, is it just simple testosterone treatment that they get for this?
So, yeah, it depends. But the first thing you need to do is you want to do a wider blood test, and you want to make sure there's nothing else that's causing the low testosterone. And you should never give anyone testosterone treatment unless you've worked out why they've got it. So if, for example, you had a thyroid problem or you're anemic or your kidneys were off or something else, they will all alter your testosterone. And then the next thing you want to say to your patient is, well, have you tried doing these simple things in your lifestyle? You know, have you done some exercise? Are you eating better? And you want them to try and do those measures as much as possible. And if they've done those and they still have a low picture or they're still symptomatic, then that's the time to say, replace it with male HRT, which is just testosterone replacement.
Right. Okay. And is that, if it comes to that form of treatment, is that a permanent thing or after a while, do you not need it anymore?
The general premise is that for most guys, it will be permanent. And that, I think, puts off a lot of men from wanting treatment. But I guess the way to think about it is if I said to you, here's a drug that's going to make you feel happier, less anxious. It's going to give you your confidence back. Your sex drive will get back to normal. Your muscle mass will go up, you'll lose some of your body fat, and it'll help you live longer, then many guys will say, well, why would I want to come off it? Because you can, and you don't, it's not a drug that you stay dependent on. All that will happen is if you come off the medication, your body just goes back to what it was before.
Yeah. Is it an injection or how is it administered?
There are several ways. The most common way we give it is either through an injection or a topical gel or a cream. There are some new-ish oral tablets coming out, but they're still quite early in development. So for the vast majority of guys, I say 90, 95% plus, the argument is for most of these guys, it's injectable, which you do yourself once a week at home or twice a week, whatever. It's a very, very tiny little thing like an insulin needle. Or it's a topical gel or a topical cream, and you just apply that every day.
Yeah. Now, I assume, though, there outside of that, would there be a cohort of men who just are unfortunate in the sense that they're just born with a low testosterone level?
Definitely. And part of the interest and part of the controversy around testosterone is at what point do you say someone's level is low? If you are born with a genetic condition, or supposing you have testicular trauma or testicular cancer, or maybe you got mumps or colitis and you weren't vaccinated or something, and it causes complications to your testicles and you just can't produce as much testosterone. You could get this condition as a kid. You get it in your early teens, early 20s, whenever. But that's not the common condition we're talking about. What we're really looking at more so are those age-related decline of testosterone that we're now looking into much more seriously as a reason why men are declining earlier in their later years.
Which I assume is part of an ongoing investigation, because if I understand you correctly, it's not quite clear why it's happening.
Well, we think, honestly, it is probably just the natural age-related decline. And part of what we're doing in more progressive areas of medicine, instead of, we are very, very reactive as doctors, and we wait for you to have your heart attack and then we treat your heart attack. What we really should be doing is, well, what are those things we can do? And we're doing better for cardiovascular disease. You know, we now treat people's blood pressure, we treat their cholesterol before they have their heart attack. But what we should be really trying to do with testosterone is saying, well, we don't need to wait for the levels to be absolutely in your boots before we do anything. And we know that when the levels start to drop and you get symptoms, we should be treating you earlier rather than waiting for you to feel like life is just not worth living.
Yeah. One of our listeners, Jeff, says he's 54. Last blood test, testosterone was at 12. Is this low or high? He wants to know.
So it all comes down to the symptoms. So if he has symptoms of low testosterone at 12, we might consider treating him. Also, if he has other comorbid medical problems, so there was a big study called T4DM, and it looked at type 2 diabetics, and it showed that if you have metabolic syndrome, these higher risk conditions, we would treat you up to nearly 15 nanomoles as normal. But then you might equally go to a traditional old-fashioned endocrinologist who would say, well, unless your levels are less than 6 or 7, we're not going to treat it. So the British Society of Sexual Medicine guidance, which is what we try and use as the gold standard, would say if it's 12 or less and you have symptoms and you're not suffering metabolic disease, then yes, you should be treated. But it's kind of a rubbish answer to give, because you just want to know, yes, is it high or is it normal or is it low? And so that's why it's a bit more of a specialist area now.
Yeah. And there is a direct link between testosterone and fertility, I assume.
Definitely. You need testosterone to make you fertile, because obviously without testosterone, your testicles don't work and you're not having any kids. The counter is also true. If we drop your testosterone through medical conditions or age or anything we've talked about, then your fertility will also go down. But if we give you testosterone treatment by itself, your fertility also goes down. So what we have to do is, if you are considering treatment and you're thinking of having kids, there are additional treatments we can give you at the same time that will protect your testicles whilst you're on the treatment. So it doesn't cause a negative feedback issue. But those are those sort of individual discussions you'd have with your doctor. But you can still have kids on treatment as long as you have that discussion and have an additional treatment at the same time.
Yeah. And if somebody is in a situation where the proper treatment is a testosterone treatment, does it vary from person to person how much is prescribed to them?
Not massively. I mean, I think we have around 17,500 patients now, and most of them are on nearly the same dose, plus or minus 10-20%. You know, it's really quite similar. And you might imagine that maybe a 75-year-old guy doesn't need as much as a 25-year-old guy, or maybe an athlete needs more or something similar. But it appears to be relatively consistent to most men. It's quite interesting. The idea is just that if it's low, you put it back in the range to what it's supposed to be, and nearly all men feel better. And we did a study relating to this, and it showed that about 94% of men feel better at 6 months. It's an incredibly good drug as a doctor to give, because your patients live longer and they love you for it.
And if you haven't reached that point yet, but and you're observing a relatively healthy lifestyle, you're exercising, etc., are there any supplements you can take to kind of as an insurance policy almost?
Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Imagine if you could just go to the herbal shop and go, I'll just buy this sort of stuff and then I never need to see the doctor. But sadly, it doesn't really apply when it comes to testosterone. There are things you can do to maximize what your testicles can do naturally. And we know that people that have diets that are higher in zinc and magnesium and selenium and vitamin D are all very good. And they're minerals and vitamins that you can buy. And if you're a high-end athlete or potentially don't have a great diet, then maybe those are of use. In terms of pure herbal supplements, things like tribulus or fenugreek or something similar, the increases you can get from any of these medicines are negligible. So 5 to 10% at best, and they certainly aren't going to make a real difference to somebody who's trying to increase their levels.
Yeah. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, and a lot of the listeners are aware, there's a whole thing at the moment, particularly in the US, where RFK and other highly respected medical sources are encouraging young men to take testosterone. All things being equal, does a young man need testosterone?
So I don't want to see anyone in my clinic who's under 30 unless we know for sure why your level is low. If you've got a genetic condition, if you've got a clinical reason, you know, you've had cancer or something similar, and we know why your testosterone is low, fine, you might need that, and that's a rarity. But the point is, what we're trying to do here is improve the longevity and the quality of life for men through decades. And what we don't want to do is start giving this to young guys in their 20s because they think it's going to make them, I don't know, more attractive or fulfill this kind of looks maxing trend that is appearing over social media. Because the problem is, if you do this in your teens or your early 20s, this is not TRT, it's just steroids. You're just taking steroids. And then the long-term outcomes for your health are terrible.
Right. So you're doing damage to yourself.
If you imagine that your body is naturally in its late teens and early 20s, still increasing its natural production. And I mean, my wife will certainly tell me I was not particularly mature in my 20s. Males often take a bit longer to reach that point of adult maturity than women. And that also applies to our hormonal development. And if you take a drug when the body's still developing those systems, then that disrupts what it should do normally. And many of these men who take what they call TRT, but is actually just performance enhancing drugs in their teens or early 20s, will have long-term detrimental effects because their body never understands how to do it naturally. And that means that either they have long-term fertility issues and they may never be able to naturally conceive, or they need to stay on this stuff for life.
My word. Jeff, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Jeff Foster there, a GP in the UK and the author of Optimal, Understanding Testosterone for Strength, Health and Wellness.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.